ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. नाम श्रेष्ठं मनमपि शचीपुत्रमत्र स्वरूपं रूपं तस्याग्रजम् उरुपुरीं माथुरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमो राधिका माधवाशम् प्राप्तो यस्य प्रथितः कृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि. वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयतः पदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता शिवशाखान्वितांश्च. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. Continuing on the theme of sadhus as tirthas, as mentioned previously in this series, tirtha is the first of the names of sannyasis, the dashanami, the 10 names given by Shankaracharya. And tirtha may also be awarded as a title to someone who's accomplished as a scholar. Scholar in Vedic understanding means in Sanskrit. So they may be given titles such as Sarasvati, Vidyavagish, Tirtha, such titles may be given. Of course, simply by being a sannyasi or by being learned doesn't necessarily mean that one's very holy, but at least just by formally accepting sannyas. But it's expected that such people will be of good character also. It's not expected that a Sanskrit scholar will be a drunkard or a ganja smoker. Some sadhus are ganja smokers. That's where the hippies coming looking for self-realization in Rishikesh and places like that, they found the sadhu smoking ganja, getting their realization in a cloud of puff, and went back and imitated them. But it's expected that people will be of good character who study Shastra. There are people who study, they know Sanskrit, but they're actually enemies of Vedic culture. I mean, we may say rhetorically that Mayavadis are enemies of Vedic culture. But no, they're not intrinsically. Buddhists, in the past, many of their early texts are in Sanskrit. That was the language of learned people. So when the Buddhists started making texts, they did it in Sanskrit. And later the emphasis shifted over to Pali. But it's expected that Sanskrit, which means that which is done fully or perfectly, is accompanied by Sanskriti, or that which is translated often as culture, or the behavior of perfectly situated, if not fully realized, persons. We see up to the present time that, at least here in South India, many of the Sanskrit people, they're raised from their childhood by their parents to be Sanskrit scholars and priests, just like our Uma Sudhana. He knows Sanskrit and Tamil. He doesn't know English. And you'll find that among the smarters in South India also, the ones who they go to the Kanchi Kama, what is it, Kanchi Koti Kamapitam, they study the, they know Tamil and Sanskrit, they speak Sanskrit, everything. Same thing, if you go to Udupi side, they're very good scholars, they know Sanskrit, Kannada and Tulu. Tulu is the local language in Udupi and Kannada is the state language. So they don't learn English. And maybe they're, of course many of them do now because they want to send their children to America to be computer engineers. But though it seems that those who are more serious in their culture, they deliberately don't have their children learn English. They send them to Gurukuls, where they study the traditional syllabus, and they don't learn English. Because with Sanskrit comes Sanskriti, and with English comes the English culture also, which is not at all suitable for spiritual life. It's Prabhupada's great mercy and in fulfillment of the prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he spread Krishna consciousness in the English language, and he actually emphasized that. Knowing that English is the international language and that even the, at least superficially, more cultured people in India, if you go to, at that time in the 1970s in Bombay and to a lesser extent in Delhi, definitely in Bangalore, the people, they'd want to send their children for English education. And Srila Prabhupada used to give lectures in Bombay, public lectures in English, with thousands of people present. Probably the women couldn't follow, most of them, because women in those days generally weren't so educated. But in India, education nowadays is associated with English. It used to be associated with Sanskrit, because education means to study Shastra, and Shastra in Sanskrit. So English is, it brings a whole mentality with it, the whole culture that goes with it. We find that in India, people, and especially those who are not English educated, they find it very easy. I mean, they don't have any mental hesitation or obstacles. If you tell them Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, they don't start thinking, well, that doesn't sound very possible. Maybe it's not true. Maybe it's some folk story. They don't think like, oh, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, that's all. Bhagwane Govardhan Pavar Utai. Bas. Finished. They have nothing to discuss. And they'll relish that. But with the English language come so many doubts. And English and French and German and all these languages. Because that's ingrained in the culture and in the educational system. That you have to analyze everything. Of course, analysis is very much there in the Vedic culture also. The whole Sankhya system is one of analysis, and it pervades the whole Vedic culture, even in discussion of rasa vichar, the discussion of Krishna's pastimes, is to be understood, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's great contribution delivered through Rupa Goswami, that bringing out the rasa, of course, Vallabh at the same time was doing so also, but that which is the very essence of bhakti, the rasa, the chamatkar, adbhuta, the amazing, wonderful, that was systematically described by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita, very systematically. When you go into Rajadham and you kiss Krishna, if you're so lucky, then you don't think, well, this is a certain, now I'm experiencing a certain Sanchari Bhav. You don't think like that. But it's analyzed like that. And that analysis is, when it's internalized, then it helps one to, or it becomes a necessity in relishing the Vaishnav poetry, which is full of rasa. There's so many poems about Krishna and his pastimes, and for persons who have internalized all that, then you don't think about it. Just like when you learn to drive, say, okay, now you press the accelerator, release the clutch, put in the clutch, move the gear. When you're first doing, you have to think about it. I'd probably have to think about it too, because it's years since I drove. But you don't even think about it. Once you get accustomed to it, you can talk with people while you're driving, look at the adverts on the road, which you're not supposed to do. It becomes internalized. So that there's no equivalence. If you even the word rasa, there's no equivalent for it in English. And so many words, kila kinchit bhava, Prabhupada himself, when he's in his translation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are some words which he says, one of them is kila kinchit bhava. He says there's no translation for this. It's just, you could maybe write a book to try and describe it, but it would be like trying to write a book describing what is the flavor of strawberries. What is the flavor of jackfruit? This is a joke from Prabhupada. What is the flavor? It tastes, someone is trying to describe to someone, what is the taste of jackfruit? Well, if you can imagine sugarcane juice that's been strained through a Muslim's beard, it might taste something like that. It doesn't help you very much, because how can you imagine what sugarcane juice strained through a Muslim's beard tastes like? In other words, it's non-translatable. It has to be experienced, ultimately. But the whole culture that goes, this enlightenment culture that goes with enlightenment, there's a term in English, the enlightenment. It means a period in European history where people became atheistic. And it's called the enlightenment because they woke up one day and thought, oh, there's no God. Whoa! The great enlightenment. Well, that's a simplification, as usual. But the whole idea, question everything. You should question everything. Don't believe anything. Well, then why I question you? Why should I believe you telling me to question everything? Even if you say question everything, you're taking it as axiomatic that when you say question everything, what you mean to say, it comes out of your mouth and travels in sound waves, enters the ears and enters the brain and is processed and means the same thing to the person who hears it as the person who speaks it. So anyway, this English medium, not so conducive. Of course, Krishna can infuse love of himself in anyone, but why do we say Vedic culture, Indian culture, Hindu culture, it's superior? There are various reasons for that. It's not growing up in the Disney culture is the same as growing up in Vedic culture, and for that matter, growing up in a middle class household in Bombay is not as conducive for Vedic culture, generally speaking, as growing up in a traditional Brahmana household, of which there are still. It's the same country, but it's a different culture. When one is more conducive. Of course, someone can become very puffed up and think, I'm a great Brahmana, and I'm so great, I'm so superior. That's also possible. But in general, that culture, vidyadadati vinayam, actually learning, that should impart humility and therefore the brahmacharis in the Gurukul, brahmachari gurukule vasandanto gurur hitam acharan dasavandicho sudhira guru sohrida. The brahmacharis, they live in the Gurukul, and the first, it's not stated. What is it? Brahmachari Gurukule Vasandanta Guru Hitam Achara. It's not stated about how they're studying and learning Shastra from the Guru, which, why do you send a brahmachari to the Gurukul? They study Sanskrit and then they learn one Veda, at least. But in the first verse describing, it doesn't mention anything about study. It says how one has to live very humbly, doing menial service, because that is the entrance into studying and learning, without which everything is useless. Actually, that's the main thing in the Vaishnava understanding. We may say, well, the Gurukul boys are sweeping, collecting flowers, making garlands, and then they go and study. And the main thing is the study. But actually, when you go to the spiritual world, you won't be sitting and studying Sanskrit. You'll be sweeping and making garlands. That's the main thing. That's not the side issue. The main thing is how we serve Krishna. Kirtan. If we learn so many things, we become a great scholar, but we don't have any taste for chanting the holy name, what's the point? What is the point? It's called Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam Dharma Svanushita Pungsang Vishvaksena Katasuyaha Notpadiyad Yadi Ratim Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. If one doesn't have a taste for hearing about Krishna, included in that is chanting about Krishna, then everything else you do is a waste of time and energy. Shrama Eva Hi Kevalam. And of course, chanting in kirtan and chanting japa also. Harinama Ruchi. The whole idea is to have a taste for the holy name, which will carry us back to God. We're talking about tirtas, how we cross over. So the sadhus, they are tirtas. The holy name is a tirtha. It's all one big package to help us cross over. Taraha e bhava shindure, cross over this ocean of material existence. And the only thing that's really stopping us is our own obstinacy, foolishness, stubbornness, holding on. We come to the sadhu's lotus feet and hold on, but we're also holding on to something else. So the sadhu's trying to pull us and we're holding back. Material attachments. So we need the sadhus to help us cross over. Actually, the word tirtha, when we say the word tirtha, we generally think of holy places. But now I'm discussing sadhus as tirthas. So we may say, well, so much respect is given in Vedic culture to sadhus, genuine sadhus especially. Maybe not to people who are cheating. It used to be when Srila Prabhupada came to India, a lot of people, especially the more enlightened kind of people, that means English educated and this, they didn't have any faith in sadhus because they saw what was going on in so many cases. This Maheshwari, lawyer in Bombay, was initiated as Mahaprabhu Das. So he described how he had no interest in sadhus whatsoever. He was a lawyer. He was in the law court. Smart guy. You have to be intelligent to be a lawyer. And it's not just by being from SC or ST and getting in the... You have to have some brains. I mean, you could somehow or other bribe your way through or something, but it won't work in the law court. You have to know your stuff, you have to be sharp. So he described how he never went to temples because he thought these people in the temples, all they're interested in is taking people's money. They've got nothing to give to anyone. Nothing spiritual, nothing. He didn't believe in anything spiritual. So he said he used to go to temples, he used to drive his wife And to drive a car in those days was quite a big thing, even in Bombay. You have to be a rich man. So he'd drive his wife, or maybe usually they'd have a paid driver. So he'd go with his wife, and when she wanted to go to a temple, and he'd sit in the car and wait for her to come back. He'd never go. So one day it was Makar Sankranti on January 1978. January the 14th, Makar Sankranti. Which exactly by the Gregorian calendar, 2 months after Srila Prabhupada had passed away, November the 14th, 1977. So it was Sunday, so day off. And he was playing cards, I believe he described. And then he saw the Times of India, full page advert, temple opening, ISKCON, Radha Rasbihar. And it caught his eye, and he looked at it. And the first thing he thought, because Marwari, lawyer, what do they think of? Money. So he thought they must have a lot of money to put a full-page advertisement in the Times of India. So he thought, anyway, let's go and see. So he went. He wasn't allowed in because he didn't have a special pass. And there's so many big people coming. But anyway, he heard the devotees. And he understood that these people are genuine. They have something that they're following. They're genuinely, sincerely spiritual, which he'd never encountered before. Or maybe he had a thick armor of skepticism. And then he started going every Sunday, and now he's Mahaprabhu Das for many years, initiated there in Bombay. So yeah, that point that people may respect sadhus in Indian culture. There's a big respect given to sadhus if they're genuine sadhus, and it becomes very difficult when there are people who are posing as sadhus and they're taking the respect of sadhus, but they're misrepresenting what a sadhu should be. And if we think of the famous sadhus in India today, they're all cheaters, the big famous ones. There aren't that many big famous ones. They're mostly all cheaters. Long beard, that's required. And talk a bunch of mumbo-jumbo in English, and you become a famous sadhu. And they're misleading people and cheating people. But so that Vedic culture, it can be an advantage, but unless one comes to a real sadhu who can actually deliver the message, then one is cheated. Instead of crossing over, one crosses back. It's like the game of snakes and ladders. You come up to the Vedic culture, you've come up to a high position, and then you get on the mouth of a snake and you slither the way all the way down. You know what I'm talking about? You played this as a kid. You slither all the way down because you got caught by a snake in the name of a sadhu. Therefore, it's required. It's gurukul and training devotees to speak the message of Krishna as it is. And we can't expect many people to appreciate that, because if you see a sadhu who just smiles and is nice and tells you do whatever you like and just blah 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 blah, speak some mumbo jumbo and feel good, then people will like that. And they'll think, why should I go to this sadhu who's telling me that material life is miserable, everything is temporary, everything is meaningless here, without a relationship to Krishna, and you have to follow all these rules? Oh, forget it. It's not easy to preach if we preach the real thing. And so some of our devotees in ISKCON, they found a great formula how to get more and more people attracted. Don't preach the real thing. Preach a bunch of nonsense. And then others will be attracted. But you become a snake. That's the problem. If we don't speak the actual message of Krishna, then we may have Vaishnav Tilak, but we're maybe a bigger cheater, because if we pose ourselves as being a Vaishnava, but we speak all nonsense. What was that we saw the other day? Who showed me that? Sri Ram Charanamrita showed me. Some brahmachari who's supposed to be an ISKCON preacher in an interview with someone saying that, well, my message, speaking in a very intellectual way, I think, and say, well, you see, my message appeals to everyone, Hindus, Muslims, Christians, atheists, because it's agnostic. Well, that's a long way away from Srila Prabhupada teaching us Dehino Svinyata Dehe, what to speak of Savadhaman. But people like it. Don't become a cheater. It's so easy. Become popular. Don't do that. So this big respect is paid to sadhus. And tirthas, holy places, sadhus are also tirthas, they're also very popular. Which is the most important? A person sadhu or a place? A person tirtha or a place tirtha? Now we may say that, well, sadhus come and go. Mahad vichalanang nirnam. The great personalities, they travel here and there. Grihinam dina chetasam, for uplifting the low-minded householders, as Nanda Maharaj said to Garga Rishi. And they leave this world also. Whereas the holy places are always there to avail of. Well, in one sense, the sadhus, they remain also. They reason ill who tell that sadhus, what's the word? They reason ill who tell that sadhus die when thou art living still in sound. A Vaishnav dies to live and living tries to spread the holy name around. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's poetic lines in relation to Haridas Thakur. They remain in sound. There's a verse, Brahmana Jangamam Tirtham. I'm talking about jangam tirthas, moving tirthas. Brahmana jangamam tirtham nirmalam sarvakalikam yesham vakyo dekeyanaiva shudhanti malina janaha. The moving tirthas, the brahmanas, they are tirtham nirmalam. They're spotless tirthas. The tirthas may become, the holy places may become contaminated by the sins of people there, or even the whole atmosphere. Some holy places, the prostitutes there, and very commercial atmosphere, and all kinds of things going on. But the moving person, tirthas, the sadhus, they don't become contaminated. And they're always pure, because they're how is that? By their words, which are like water, the holy places purify generally the water. Yatirta buddhi salile. This verse mentions the water in a holy place. So generally the water is associated with purification. But the words of a sadhu, they purify the dirt within the heart of people. So therefore the sadhus, they very kindly, they don't just, they speak to their disciples, so their disciples can hear, and then the disciples have to go on speaking in the next generation. And they put in writing also now in the Kali Yuga, that's required. To put in writing so that their contributions may remain. The holy places, they can relieve people from their sins, but not so much the tendency to commit sins. Whereas by the words of a sadhu, they free one even from the tendency to sin, by teaching us what is our real self-interest, how sinful life is very dangerous. In this regard, there are several verses in Bhagavatam and elsewhere. I'll read two of them, which are well known. Naishammatis tava durukramangrim sprishatyanarto pagamam sprishatyanarta pagamo yadartaha mahiyasam padarajo bhushekam niskinchananam navarnita yavat. Unless they smear upon their bodies, this is Prahlad Maharaj speaking to Hiranyakashipu, who has no intention of doing any such thing, but Prahlad is telling him anyway. Unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnav, completely freed from material contamination, persons very much inclined toward materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities, urukram, great activities, great steps. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord in this way can one be freed from material contamination. Then Jarabharat speaking to Rahugana, Rahuganaita tapasanaya ti na cheja ya nirva parnad grihadva na chandasa naiva jalagni suryaya vinamahat pada rajo bhishekam. O King Rahugana, the perfectional stage of devotional service, or the Paramahamsa stage of life, cannot be attained unless one is blessed by the dust of the feet of great devotees. It is never attained by tapasya, austerity, the Vedic worshipping process, acceptance of the renounced order of life, the discharge of the duties of household life, the chanting of the Vedic hymns, or the performances of penances in the hot sun, within cold water, or before the blazing fire. So someone may sit with fires around him in the hot sun as a kind of austerity, very difficult austerity, but not as powerful for actually purifying the heart as smearing the dust of the lotus feet of a devotee on one's body. But even that in itself may not help if one does so formally. The idea is to fully surrender, to fully submit oneself. Reading from Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhya Khanda, chapter 10, text 110. Sparshe ki dai dekile haridas chinde sarva jibe anadi karma pash. What to speak of his touch? Just by the sight of Haridas Thakur, all of one's bondage from time immemorial is cut to pieces. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments, churning the essence of all scriptures, the essence of all scriptures. The author states, by seeing a Vaishnava, all good fortune is awakened. The living entities are bound by the ropes of karma due to material desires from time immemorial. If they see the supremely liberated Haridas, then their thirst for material enjoyment will be destroyed, and they will be freed from all anarthas, or unwanted things. If such a thing happens just by seeing such a person, then one can certainly expect more auspiciousness from his touch. This is loudly proclaimed in the scriptures. Srila Narottam Thakur has sung, Gangara parashohile paschate pabon, darshane pabitrakaro eito margun. After bathing in the waters of the sacred Ganga many times, one becomes purified, but just by the sight of you, the fallen souls are purified. This is your great power. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is stated, Apana sangsritin gauram yannama vivasho gurnan tatasadyo vimucheta yadbibeti swayang bhayam. Living entities who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. So that's going to the holy name, which is transmitted by sadhus. Then, again from Bhagavatam, Yeshang sang smaranat pung sam sadhya shudhyanti vaigrihaha king puna darshana sparsha pada shocha sanadibhi sanidhyate mahayogin patakani mahantyapi sadhyo nashyanti vaipung sang vishnur eva suretaraha. Simply by remembering you, our houses become instantly sanctified. This is Parikshit to Shuka. And what to speak of seeing you, touching you, washing your holy feet, and offering you a seat in our home. Just as the atheist cannot remain in the presence of the personality of Godhead, so also the invulnerable sins of a man are immediately vanquished in your presence, O saint, O great mystic. Again, Srimad Bhagavatam. This Krishna speaking. Nahiyam mayani tirthani nadeva mritchila mayaha. Tipunant yurukalena darshanad eva sadhavaha. No one can deny that there are holy places with sacred rivers or that the demigods appear in deity forms made of earth and stone, but these purify the soul only after a long time, whereas saintly persons purify just by being seen. A very similar statement we find later still in the Bhagavatam, Lord Shiva saying to Markandeya Rishi. Lord Shiva himself is the main object of veneration in so many holy places. But he says to Markandeya, similar verse, Nahyam mayani tirthani na devas chetano jitaha tipunant yu. Oh, by the way, this I finished the reading from Chaitanya Bhagavad commentary. Tipunant yurukalena yuyam darshana matrataha. Mere bodies of water do not constitute holy places, nor are lifeless statues of the demigods actual worshipable deities. Because external vision fails to appreciate the higher essence of the holy rivers and the demigods, these purify only after a considerable time, but devotees like you purify immediately just by being seen. Srila Prabhupada writes in Canto 4, Chapter 22, Text 16, Srimad Bhagavatam, purport, The devotees are actually the representative of the Supreme Lord, and as such they travel all over the world directly as Narayana, because they carry Narayana within their hearts and preach his glories. So the Mayavadis, they think Dandagrahena Matrena Naro Narayana Bhavet. Simply by accepting the stick of a sannyasi, one becomes Narayana. That's nonsense. Even if they're great learned scholars and they think like that and they preach like that. But actually it's nonsense. But the devotees, they are directly as Narayana. It doesn't mean they are actually Narayana, but they have the same effect in their traveling because they carry Narayana within their hearts and preach his glories. Here's this verse I just quoted. I'll say again. Mahad vichalinam nunam grihinam dinachetasam nishrayasaya bhagavan kalpate nanyata kvachit. O my Lord, O great devotee, this is Nanda Maharaj to Garga Rishi. O great devotee, persons like you move from one place to another not for their own interests, but for the sake of poor-hearted grihasthas, householders. Otherwise, they have no interest in going from one place to another. This same verse is cast in Bengali in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Mahanta shabhav e tarite pamor nijja karja nahi tabu jai tar ghar. It means the same thing. The characteristic of a great personality is this, that to uplift sinful people, they go to their houses. They have nothing personally to gain by doing so, but that's their characteristic as a great personality. So there's another advantage of the Jangam Tirtha, the moving Tirtha. Do you have to go to that, the holy place, but the holy place comes to you? That's why Srila Prabhupada, he wants his sannyasis to travel and preach, and devotees go place to place, distribute books, hold Harinam Sankirtan, do festivals. An example of Shukadev from the Bhagavatam. Sago dohana matram hi griheshu grihamed hinam avekshate mahabhagas tirthi kuravangs tadashramam. He, Shukadev Goswami, was accustomed to staying at the door of a householder. He wouldn't go in, it seems. Only long enough for a cow to be milked. And he did this just to sanctify the residence. Again, Parikshit Maharaj speaking to Shukadev. Aho adya vayang brahman satsevya kshatra bandhavaha. Kripaya titi rupena bhavadbis tirtha ka kritaha. O Brahmana, Shukadev Goswami, by your mercy only, you have sanctified us, making us a person like me, who am a kshatra bandhava, making us like unto places of pilgrimage, all by your presence here as my guest. By your mercy, we who are but unworthy royalty have become eligible to serve the devotee. So in other words, he's saying that even though I'm a fallen kshatriya, not even a kshatriya, but fallen kshatriya, that's his humility. Saying that you have sanctified me to the extent that I also can be considered on the platform of a tirtha. Another thing is you can go to a tirtha, but a lot depends on your own attitude. Of course, that's true with sadhus also, but sadhus may be very merciful, and even if the attitude is wrong, we'll attempt to correct that. As Sarva Bhavana Prabhu, one of my god brothers, who I haven't seen for a long time, he told me that he had once asked Srila Prabhupada that in Chaitanya, no, I don't think he quoted that Chaitanya Charitamrita verse, but Prabhupada would always say that out of the book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat is more important. Actually, in Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Ek Bhagavata Baro Bhagavata Shastra Ar Bhagavat Bhakta Bhakti Rasa Patra. That the big Bhagavat, or the main one, is the book Bhagavat. And there's one more, the devotee who is the receptacle of Bhakti Rasa. But Prabhupada put it around the other way. So both are correct, because the Mool Pramana, or the central authority, is the Srimad Bhagavatam. Madhyasta Bhagavat Puran. This Narottam Das sings. That Madhyasta, that if there's Madhyasta, you know from Bhagavad Gita, that word is there. Suhrin Mitraryu Dasina. What's the next word? Madhyasta. Dvesha Bandhushu. So a Madhyasta is someone who's situated between friends and enemies. He's neutral. And then he gives, if there are people who are quarreling, he'll give the right judgment. That's the idea. So Bhagavat Puran is the Madhyasta, because there may be different opinions, what should be done, or what is this truth about the Shastra? But the Srimad Bhagavatam will give the evidence. So in that sense. But on the other side, so why Prabhupada, Savabhavana Prabhu asked, why is the book, why is the person Bhagavat considered more important? Prabhupada said, because he will pull your ear. Bhagavatam you can read and say, oh, very nice, smoke a cigarette. You won't dare to smoke a cigarette in front of Prabhupada, I hope. Of course, the hippies, they do all kinds of things. Again, that culture. Prabhupada mentioned, was it Prabhupada? That in the present day that he was talking, was this 1950s or something, that the culture is so bad that young people will smoke even in front of an elder person. The idea is if you're going to smoke, that's not good, but you don't in front of an elder person. That's very rude to do that, to do something bad in front of an elder person. But people just do automatically. They take pleasure in insulting the culture, insulting the respectable people. Such is Kali Yuga. So the Tirtha won't inform you and push you to change your life as a sadhu will. Therefore Krishna says, Yatirtha buddhi salalena karhi jijjaneshvabhigeshu sa eva gokara. One who thinks that his visit to a holy place is complete just by bathing there, he doesn't get more benefit than a cow or an ass gets from going there. Now cow or an ass, they'll also get benefit, but they can't benefit in the way that a human can by having the consciousness uplifted and changed, but that's supposed to come from the holy people who are there. Therefore, Krishna also says, Nahiyam mayani tirthani, that we just said, that the sadhus are more important than the holy places in that sense. The holy place, if you go to, might inspire you to uplift your life. But that inspiration again will come from the whole atmosphere that's created by holy persons. Or the place itself may do. Just like you were showing me photos of Hampi. I'd never been there. That's the old kingdom of Maharaj Krishna Devarai. And still you can see, even though they got some religious mixing from a certain minority community, which means most of the place was destroyed, but still you can see so many carvings and so intricate, and you can understand that all religious themes, of course, so you can understand that the people who did this had a deep sense of devotion to Krishna and to Vedic culture. So you can become inspired like that. So you can get some inspiration from going to a holy place. But that again comes generally from the input of others who inform you, or there are, just like Srila Prabhupada also wanted these exhibitions so you can see the pastimes of the Lord. Otherwise you may not know. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first came to Rajamandala, he was just going here and there, and there was a puddle, a small pond in a rice field, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in ecstasy. What's up with him? It's Radha Kund. They didn't know. The most sacred place, even in the whole of Rajamandala. Rajamandala is above Vaikuntha, above Mathura. Then you come to Vrindavan, and that's it, right? No, we have to go over. And then beyond that, Radhakund. That Rupa Goswami, he gives that in his Upadeshamrita. Otherwise, how would we know? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then Raghunath Das Goswami had it excavated. And we wouldn't know. How would we know? So it's the holy people who bring that to life. Even if we're inspired by a tirtha, we have to go to a sadhu to know what. Okay, I got some inspiration. What do I do next? okay, I'm feeling like I came to Vrindavan, now I want to be Krishna conscious, what do I do? And the best sadhus will teach us how to surrender to Krishna, that we have to surrender to Krishna. But such Vaishnavas, such great devotees, they may be very rare. From Hari Bhakti Sudhodaya, Akshno Palam Twadrisha Darshananghi, Tano Palam Twadrisha Gatra Sangaha, Jihva Palam Twadrisha Kirtanamhi, Sudur Labha Bhagavata Hiloka. You just learned this verse, huh? Then you read Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's included there also. There you'll find the essence of all scriptures, even the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So many verses are quoted there from all kinds of scriptures. Kaviraj Goswami. Kaviraj means he's a great scholar. He was selected. There's so many great scholars. He was selected to compose Chaitanya Charitamrita. So the translation is given of this verse as follows. My dear Vaishnava, seeing a person like you is the perfection of one's eyesight. Touching your lotus feet is the perfection of the sense of touch, and glorifying your good qualities is the tongue's real activity. For in the material world, it is very difficult to find a pure devotee of the Lord. So it may be. Sudur labha bhagavata hiloke. Of course, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, what is very rare is now relatively common. We may not find devotees like Shukadeva Goswami and Srila Prabhupada loitering on every street corner, but there are many of their representatives who distribute these books, who chant the holy names, and who are seriously endeavoring to come to that level. And anyone who goes with the devotional spirit to a holy place, they also make the tirtha. You make a tirtha. That verse I quoted several times in this series of talks. Bhavadvita bhagavatas tirtha bhuta swayang vibho tirtha kurvanti Tirti kurvanti tirtani svantasthena gadabrita. Saints of your caliber, Yudhishthira speaking to Vidura, are themselves places of pilgrimage. Because of their purity, they are constant companions of the Lord, and therefore they can purify even the places of pilgrimage. They make pilgrimage places into places of pilgrimage. Even literally, just like Shankaracharya went to Badrik Ashram and he restored the worship which wasn't going on, reinstalled the deities, brought Nambudiri Brahmanas all the way from Kerala. Their descendants are still there. Your question was, why is Badrik Ashram not considered such an important holy place for Vaishnavas as Dwaraka and Puri? Well, one simple answer to that is it's very difficult to reach and go to. And in many cases it's yad gatva na nivartante. If you go, you may not come back. Nowadays you can drive up. In those days you had to walk over very difficult mountain pass, and it wasn't that it was a well-worn path, because they're not so many people going. Remember, the population of India was much less. It must have doubled. We don't have Sri Ramcharan Aravinda, he would know, but it must have. I think it's doubled within the 40 years or so that I've been staying here. Almost doubled. And in the British time, of course, the British, they did some population control also, induced famines and so on. But it may have been less than 500 million. So not that many people, and difficult to go to, and on the way there are lions, bears, snakes, as usual all over India, and the avalanches. You might not be, even if you're physically fit enough to come back, if there's a rock blocking the passage, what do you do? So that may be one reason. Another reason is that Dwaraka is a dham, a residence of the Lord. He lived there. Krishna, we know, was born in, some people say in Mathura, some people say in Vrindavan. But he didn't stay very long there. And then he went to Mathura, and then he lived most of his life. He's based at Dwaraka. And Puri is also the eternal residence of Lord Jagannath, which has a very... Jagannath is considered very, very special for everyone, not even for Vaishnavas, because he's so merciful. Just by taking his prasadam, you can get everything. And he especially extends him. He was previously being worshipped by the Shabaras, to the most low-class people who are considered very sinful. If you be born as a Shabara, means you're very sinful. So that's his mercy. And for Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the importance of Puri is there, especially because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He lived there for 24 years. He was based there. 18 years. Tarmade Choi Bacho. Gamanagaman. Within that, the first 6 years, he was coming and going, and afterwards he was staying in Puri. And sometimes he went to Alvanath, just close by. So that's a reason. That may be the reason. So the holy places, the devotees, they make them. But even ordinary devotees, we can say ordinary. There's no such thing as an ordinary devotee. But in one sense we can say. Just like an elephant is not ordinary. There's an elephant around and everyone can see. But if you have 100 elephants you're used to elephants moving around all the time, you say it's an ordinary elephant. So like that, just to give some example. Vaishnava is always extraordinary, but those who are less known and appear to be ordinary, although you can't tell, it may be some, they just sit at home and they're just doing their daily occupational duties, like Nanda Maharaj. In ordinary Vaishnava, they worship Narayan at home. So he's an ordinary devotee. Garga Muni comes, Nanda Maharaj says, oh, you've come to purify us. Come to purify Nanda Maharaj? Is it possible? But they think like that. And I've personally seen in my travels, sometimes you just arrive in a village, unknown, and you just come, someone's just, some old man is sitting there with his tilak and just chanting japa. And that's what he does all day. He's an old man, he can't do any work. He's just sitting and chanting japa. Oh, that's what he does all day. Ordinary devotee. Extraordinary. So, the ordinary people. Ordinary pilgrims. They're also, they make the holy place. Because if they don't go, then no one would know. Just like Radha Kund. Now people go. But if no one goes and then no one knows about it, no one gives it any importance. It has its own importance. But in an important sense, those who go there, they make the tirtha. And also, you're going and you realize that over so many years, so many pilgrims have come here. And it's Haridwar, I was mentioning that you may go and you'll find the Brahmin and he says yes, and he brings out the record that my father, he saw your father and my grandfather saw your grandfather, and they have the whole list because they're Tirtha Purohits. They have, because they have to, then when they offer the oblations to the forefather, then they can say all the names because they keep a record. going back generations and generations. So then you realize it's really not like going to Disneyland. Even if your father and your grandfather did go there, so what? It doesn't make it any more holy. They didn't go for any religious purpose. But when you realize there's so many people and more and more and more going. It used to be we'd do Govardhan Parikrama, very nice, peaceful, and a few pilgrims, a few people doing Parikrama here and there, and then most of the path is just Kacha. And nowadays it's a highway practically around, and so many people going. If you go on Guru Purnima, you can't move. I mean, you have to. You have to move because everyone's moving, but you can't move this way. That is completely packed with people. So more and more people are coming, and they're all coming with devotion. Maybe someone has pure devotion, someone has mixed devotion, but they're all coming with devotion to Giriraj, Govardhan, or whichever holy place they're going to. So in this way, the pilgrims, sadhus, sadhu doesn't only mean someone dressed in orange, it means someone who has a pure heart. Pure heart means specifically in relation to God. So they make the holy places. This verse, Bhavadvidha Bhagavatas, is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. As we're saying, Chaitanya Charitamrita, you get the essence of all this. The essence of the essence. Bhagavatam itself is the essence of the essence. Sarva Veda Itihasanam Saram Saram Hi Udaharitam. The essence of all the Vedas, the essence of the essence is the Bhagavatam, and the essence of that is in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in where this is quoted in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada gives this commentary. Srila Prabhupada writes, this verse was spoken by Maharaj Yudhishthira to Vidura in Srimad Bhagavatam. Vidura was returning home after visiting sacred places of pilgrimage, and Maharaj Yudhishthira was receiving his saintly uncle. In essence, Maharaj Yudhishthira was saying, my dear Lord Vidura, you yourself are a holy place because you are an advanced devotee. People like you always carry Lord Vishnu in their hearts. You can revitalize all holy places after they have been polluted by the pilgrimage of sinners. So I was saying that everyone who goes to a holy place helps to make it a holy place. But then sinful people also go. But sinful people, it's mixed. Because someone who's really grossly sinful doesn't have any faith in holy places. So it means that even people who are religious, they also may be sinful. Knowingly or unknowingly they commit sins. But they have faith in God, they have faith in Ganga, they have faith in Vrindavan, therefore they go to a holy place. And they leave their sinful reactions there. But someone like Vidura, by his going, he purifies that holy place of sin. Now don't you go to a holy place and think, I'm purifying it, please. Probably you are, but don't think like that. Because if we think like that, then Amito Vaishnav e buddhi hoile. Omani nahobo ami. If I think I am a Vaishnava, then I become proud. Pratishtasha ashi hridoi dushibe hoibo niroyagami. Bhaktivinoda Thakur warns. The desire for honor will enter my heart and pollute it, and I'll become a candidate for going to hell. Continuing Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse. A sinful person goes to a holy place of pilgrimage to be purified. In a holy place there are many saintly people and temples of Lord Vishnu. However, the holy place becomes infected with the sins of many visitors. When an advanced devotee goes to a holy place, he counteracts all the sins of the pilgrims. Therefore, Maharaj Yudhishthira addressed Vidura in this way. Since an advanced devotee carries Lord Vishnu within his heart, he is a moving temple and a moving Vishnu. An advanced devotee does not need to go to holy places, for wherever he stays is a holy place. In this connection, Narottam Das Thakur states, Tirtha Jatra Parishram Keval Mone Brahm. Visiting holy places is simply another type of bewilderment. Since an advanced devotee does not need to go to a holy place, why does he go? The answer is that he goes simply to purify the place. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there for now. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpa tarupyas chakripa sindhu vyavacha patita nam pavadebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah.
Zolina's Bhaktivikas Swami Maharaj.